All right. Well, hello. We have some folks in the house of the Lord that are awake. I had to go get me a little prop. You got to let three people know today Christ is risen. Come on. We got to do this every week, right? Christ is risen. You know, you got to get ready for Easter. I'm going to go ahead and give you the cheat sheet for Easter. When we say he is risen, you got to say he is risen indeed, all right? We got to get back to when we come to that. And that's what I'm excited. We're kicking off our Easter series because, believe it or not, it's coming in just a few weeks. And maybe you're like me. You're not quite ready. Your basket is empty. I'm just letting you know. I'm letting you know. Reminding you. It's almost like birthdays, okay? We got it? I see you all got your phone out. You're going ahead and marking it. That's great. You go ahead and do that. The others of you who are asleep, hopefully the alarm is going off right now. But how many of us are big Easter fans, like Easter Bunny fans? No one. Well, Ruby, that's it. Okay, I'm not either. I don't know. I never got the Easter Bunny. I like Santa Claus. That was good times. But, like, here's the reason I didn't like the Easter Bunny. Think about it. I never saw a rabbit poop a Cadbury egg. Right? Did you ever see a robin have a robin egg? I never got to chew gum from robins. Hey, I never saw a chicken poop out a Reese's peanut butter egg. Yeah, that's what we celebrate. Like, what in the world? It's crazy. We kind of look at it. So wherever you are right now, I just want to prepare your heart for Easter. Maybe, just maybe, this basket can be empty, but I promise we'll come back to this hopefully in a little bit. And so today, if you would like to sow a gift of $80 million into the vine, we get this basket to you for free. It's been prayed over. Can't promise that the Shroud of Turin has touched it, but once that $80 million check clears, we can get that back to you. So anyway, wherever we are, I hope we have some fun today. You know, we're going to have fun as we kick off our series. Today's going to be one of those days where hopefully we'll just be reminded of the hope we have in Christ. So we're going to go old school just for a little bit, all right? Throughout this series, we're going to start in the same verse. We're going to be in Matthew 28, verse 6. You just saw it here at the end of our lead-in. And so if you will, this is going to come up on screen. If you'll stand up, we're going to say this together. We're going to go old school in the church today. Can we do that? So everyone stand. We're good. All right, we're going to say this together because we're going to celebrate this as we go through this series. So one, two, three. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Matthew 28, 6. You can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you for that. I know that's a little bit different, but we got a little calisthenics in the house of the Lord today because that's the message we get to share, church. He ain't in there. The tomb is empty. Like, we know no matter what, hey, Friday's here, but Sunday's coming, right? Like, we understand no matter what. We think we got to celebrate Easter in just a few weeks, but I'm just going to be honest with you. We can't even get our Easter dates right. We can't. Like, right now here, we celebrate Easter on the first full moon after the spring equinox, yet the Passover is going to be deeper down the road this year. So much so, Passover is going to be after we celebrate Easter. So, like, our Palm Sunday here in a few weeks is actually going to be about 2 weeks early. So if we go and tie ourselves to Easter being a date, or Easter being the Easter bunny, or Easter being a basket, or Easter being spring flowers, whatever that is when it comes to Easter, if it's anything but Christ that we celebrate with Easter, we miss out. And you see, that's where the world is. See, Easter is an extension of Christmas, is it not? Think about it this way. Christmas has no value without Easter, does it? It loses its meaning. And Easter doesn't happen if there is no Christmas. See, Christmas is about the hope of Christ coming, the advent of his arrival, and Easter is about the fulfillment of that hope for us all as we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. So when it comes to Easter, we can be celebrating this ultimate gift we have in Christ. And because of that, throughout these next few weeks, we're going to talk about what Jesus chose for us as he chose us. Can we do that? All right, that's what we're going to do today. So today, if we can't, we're going to learn through this today. If we can't grasp that, then on the way out, you can grab what we're diving through today, and it's this, a crown of thorns. All right? No one seems excited about that. We have those. Yeah, we have those. They hurt really bad. And for that, you can actually get that crown of thorns for the gift of $1 million. We can give that to you, right? But a crown of thorns, I don't think any of us had this on our Easter list, did we? Like, this wasn't something we expected the Easter Bunny to bring us. Like, when we go shopping in the store, a crown of thorns isn't exactly going to be what we pick out for our loved ones, is it? Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus chose for us. So if you've got your Bible today, let's go ahead and get to Matthew 27, Matthew 27. We're going to spend a lot of our time in Matthew today. We're going to be back and forth, but we're going to stick here in Matthew 27. As always, if you don't have a Bible, they're free for the asking. Just go grab it. You don't even have to ask. You just go grab one. They're available in the garden. And as always, you can follow along with us for free on the Vine Church app, on our phone, on your phone at thevine.tv/app. And as always, I'm thankful for our Vine production team that's going to make sure wherever you're watching around the world, and when I call for us to stand up, it's on the screen. If you're with me, give me an amen. Come on. Amen in the house of the Lord. Let's see where Crown of Thorns plays into this Easter story and how Jesus chose it for each and every one of us. And it says this, Matthew 27, verse 27 to 31. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him. They took the staff. They struck him in the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Now that sounds pretty horrific, right? That sounds pretty awful, but you see, the religious people just did that to Jesus just a few hours before he goes into the praetorium. So if you're stuck in religion today and not in relationship, and you're more worried about how someone keeps the rules as opposed to what Jesus has done for us, know that that's the same thing that these folks in Rome, these soldiers in Rome, did to Jesus. See, when it talks about this praetorium and it talks about them making fun of them, in Rome, you got to understand, Rome wanted you to have this thing called Pax Romana, which literally means the peace of Rome. And they would let you worship your gods and do your own thing, but they never once let the control of the people be relinquished. They wanted to remind you that Rome was in power. That's why they walked around saying, "Hail Caesar." So the Roman soldiers right here are making fun of Jesus because they're saying, "Your kingdom isn't anything." They twist this crown of thorns upon his head to make fun of him, but we're going to see how Jesus is going to redeem that, because here's what happened in Roman culture. Whenever a crown was given to someone, sometimes a Roman general would wear it in the victory battle, or after battle when they have won. Obviously, Caesar did. We know the Ides of March here coming up, right? This is when Julius Caesar was assassinated. Also, coincidentally, it's where you got to settle your accounts if you own a business, by the way. We have to, individually, you're supposed to file April 15th. The government gets mad. Whatever. Wherever we are, you got to settle your accounts as a business on the Ides of March. Go figure. But they gave them a scepter, and a scepter was also given to a general whenever they won battle and they rode their horse in and into battle from victory. And it was shown and given to them as a symbol of justice and mercy and authority. As we dive into this crown of thorns today, I want to say, I know some of us, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Feel free to if you want to, but many of us, even right now, you ever feel underappreciated? Parents raise both of their hands. I understand that. You ever feel like you don't matter? You ever feel like you're trying to do the good thing, yet you seem to live under the karma of no good deed goes unpunished? See, Jesus knows what that feels like. I know you're used to hearing a pastor say that all the time, but literally somebody who's willing to be mocked, beaten with a staff, and spit on, even had the religious people, the priests, the pastors of the church spit on him at that moment in time and said, "Prophesy who we are," and tried to beat him. Jesus knows what you're walking through. Jesus knows how that feels. So I want to tell you today, if you've not experienced that, no worries. I did just spit a little. I'm very sorry. But we're not going to spit on you, and we aren't going to beat you today. But right now, your spirit may feel beaten up, and it may feel like it's been spit upon. And I want you to take that to Jesus. See, some scholars speculate, believe it or not, the reason the Roman soldiers did that is it was Pontius Pilate. We know him in the story. It was his last-ditch effort not to have to crucify Jesus. We'll talk about it as we go through this series, but remember, Jesus is so weak, he can't even carry his own cross to Calvary. Someone has to carry it for him. See, Pontius Pilate was hoping he had beaten Jesus so far within an inch of his life that he wouldn't have to go there, hoping beyond hope that maybe, just maybe, the Jewish leaders would change their mind and not crucify him. And yet, how thankful can we be that Jesus went to that cross for us, right? So what does this crown of thorns have to do with Easter? What does it look like? Because see, we have to understand Jesus gave up some things for us to be able to celebrate the life we have in him. Think about this really quick as we get to see where these crown of thorns show up. Jesus gave up some things. He gave up timelessness. When was Jesus created? He was before creation. God created time. Jesus was there at the beginning. When this happened, when the heavens and earth, Jesus gave up not only timelessness, he gave up boundlessness. He wasn't bound. He wasn't in a body like us. And so it's for him to set us free, he had to be bound in this broken, beat up, sinful body that we have that will break down and will tear down. Not only that, he gave up sinlessness. See, oftentimes we can forget that Jesus didn't have to do all that for us. We take it for granted because we hear it all the time because we live in Christendom. We know the name of Jesus and we hear the name of Jesus, but we don't want to respond to it at times because we just think he's a picture on grandma's wall and I saw her struggle her whole life and he didn't heal her cancer. He didn't help her win the lottery. So I don't know if I want this Jesus. See, the reason Jesus came for us to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves goes all the way back to where thorns first show up in the Bible. If you've got your Bible, I want you to go all the way to the first book of the Bible. You can keep Matthew. We're going to be in the book of Matthew a couple more times here in a second. But thorns show up in the first book of the Bible in Genesis 3. So if you've got your Bible, look at what Genesis 3 is. So here's what happens. God creates the heavens and the earth. And then on the sixth day, he created mankind in his own image. And after he does that, he says, just like parents, you know this, you can eat any food or go in any place in the house to get a snack except this cupboard. Where are the kids going to go? That cupboard. That's what we did in sin. He told Adam and Eve, hey, you can have everything. Everything is going to be provided from you. Everything is going to be provided for you. You've got it all. You just can't eat of these two trees. And what do Adam and Eve do? They say it's an apple. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a coconut. They put a lime in the coconut. Anyway, it's going to be in your brain. All that to say, they decided to eat from that tree. Now, you knowing your child does that, understand that's the corruption of sin in us because you can't help but want to go in the cupboard, right? So because of that, there was consequence. So Genesis 3, verse 17 and 19, 17 through 19 show us when thorns first show up in the Bible. It says this. This is God speaking to Adam after they have sinned. Verse 17 says, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return. See, thorns are the fruit of sin, the consequence of sin. Thistles. And I don't know about you, how many of us love going into thorn bushes? None of us, right? You got to make sure you got blue jeans on. You don't want to come in there with shorts with that. But we're going to see how Jesus redeems it. So I'm going to bring you some history here when we talk about it. Abraham Lincoln talked about thorns, and he said it this way. If you ever study history or quotes, Abraham Lincoln said, we can either be mad that the rose bush has thorns, or we can celebrate that the thorn bush has roses. See, the thing about thorns is how many of us would say we got some thorns in our life? All of us, right? Like, we have thorns in our life now because it's a consequence of sin. Thorns, a consequence of sin. Like, if I've got to pick thorns, I better have gloves on. I got to have something to shear it. But thorns serve a purpose for the plant to protect it. And what if maybe God put thorns in our life to protect us from sinning more? What if the thorns upon our path are actually to help us get us back into his way? Proverbs 15 says it this way. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But Proverbs 15 says it this way. The writer of Proverbs, as he lays it out, talks about these thorns in our path. And it says this in Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. I want to ride. got it. Oh, no. Oh, Lord Jesus, I know. Thank you. If you're going my way, I want to, anyway. Thorns in our path. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. In other words, if our goal in life is to be comfortable, it's going to always have something hindering us. Because Jesus didn't come for us to be comfortable. He came to set us free. And so that's why it says the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. We can either be in our way and our will, doing our thing and our own comfort, trying to hope that the karma turns back around, hope that things come back around us, and all we see are thorns growing like kudzu bushes, or kudzu vines, excuse me. Or we can follow Jesus and follow his way, and it's a highway. It is unhindered. That's the importance. When a highway is hindered, there's a massive pileup, isn't there? Yeah, the funny thing is, I love how Jesus says that is even though following the will of God is a highway, it's still the narrow way, right? So for us, what will we choose? See, Jesus said this about thorns. Back to Matthew very quickly. I promise we're going somewhere today. I think we are. Maybe some yeast rolls from Wade's. I don't know. Whatever you got. Let it float your boat. Matthew 7. Let's see what Jesus says about thorns. Verse 15 to 20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Really quick, before we go on, I know I've said this a million times. If you want to know if somebody is a follower of Christ or is a wolf in sheep's clothing, just watch what they eat. If they devour the people of God, they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. But if they follow the will of God, then they're going to be a sheep following Christ's will, right? God's will. Verse 16 says this, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Man, that goes back to John 15, does it not? Kind of where we are at the vine, right? John 15, 5. If any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing, right? But if we don't bear fruit, where are we thrown? Into the fire. Into the brush pile, if you will. Those wonderful bonfires. But that's hell. See, these thorns, Jesus talks to us about being wary of thorns. And the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 21 or 22, in that frame, he talks and he's explaining to the disciples, hey, this is what the parable of the sower means. The seed that fell upon the soil with thorns, the word, the gospel, the truth of the gospel comes down upon that soil, but the thorns come up, the thorns of this life, the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth come and choke out the word of God. Thorns. Thorns. The fruit of our sin. So let me ask you this. What are the thorns in your life that are trying to choke out the word of God? What are the thorns that you're dealing with? All of us admit, hey, we can all admit we've got thorns in our life. Paul even admits, what is it? 2 Corinthians 12. Sounds right. 2 Corinthians 12. He says that he was given a thorn in his flesh and he prayed three times for it to be removed. And he called it a messenger of Satan. And God didn't remove it because what? In Paul's weakness, what was magnified through it? God's strength. So what is that thorn in your life? Is that thorn something of this world? Are you trying to chase wealth? Are you trying to chase health alone? I'm not saying either of those are a bad thing, but if they're the focus over Jesus, it can lead you into a path that can only harm you. Are you walking through mental thorns? Do you have emotional thorns, relational thorns, financial thorns? Are you just as the great prophet, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, the thorn in your life is just hard times, baby? Like, are y'all not a wrestling fan? Come on. Jesus, Lord, bring your... Father God, I'm trying. We're getting there. But we've got thorns. What do we do with them? What do we understand? Do we try to root out the thorns on our own? Because I don't see God saying we can. Paul all modeled for us. You got to ask God about these thorns. What are you doing with those thorns? See, some of us, when it comes to those thorns, we keep trying to cut them down. We keep trying to cut that rose bush down. And have you ever tried to cut a rose bush down? If you don't get it to the root, that thing ain't going nowhere. The only thing that can destroy your rose bush are those dang deer. I'm going to tell you right now, because they nibble off the top of those rose petals. That's it. Nothing will destroy it. Or you being like the world will do, you put your crown of thorns on and you wear it like a badge of honor. And you hope that somebody takes pity upon you and mercy upon you because you've got this crown of thorns, and you become a victim because of your crown of thorns. And I just want to be honest with you today. The only victim that ever walked this earth is Jesus Christ. No one else did. We don't like to hear that, but it's truth. He is the only one who committed no crime yet was punished for it. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of that, the result is this crown of thorns. See, maybe you're not trying to wear it and be excited that the world sees it, but you try to hide it. Could you imagine thorns on a bike, on a seat of a bicycle? That probably wouldn't feel good, would it? See, when we try to hide our thorns from the Lord, that's what happens. It comes and springs up at just the worst time. But let's be honest here. What happens when we touch a thorn? Don't we bleed? See, you're going to see how Jesus redeems it. Because here's the thing that I want to tell you. No matter what about thorns in our life, is thorns going to thorn, y'all? It's going to do what it's going to do. But what we do with it is what makes all of the difference. So let's go back to where we started in Matthew 27 to see if there's a better way to deal with the thorns in our life. Instead of us trying to chop them down, instead of us trying to wear them as a garment in our shame and guilt, hoping that someone takes pity upon us, there is a better way. And it's Matthew 27 again, verse 27 to 31. Jesus does something for us with those thorns. One more time. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole companies of soldiers around them. So the praetorium, really quick, is like a barracks, right? The military barracks. I always think of Gladiator when I hear this, because that is, remember when he's captured and he yells out to him, "Praetorian!" And, you know, he goes to the... I'm going to go back behind the veil. It's a tough thing. I'm going to go to the Holies of Holies. The praetorium. So there are about 600 soldiers there. So we don't know how many soldiers that were brought out when they brought Jesus, but they would have put him in the center so that everyone could see him get beaten and spit on. Verse 28, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it upon his head. See, when we think of a crown, we think of a couple things, don't we? A Burger King Happy Meal when we grew up back in the day, right? I don't even know if they do it anymore, right? Because you get to have it your way. Maybe it was a Krispy Kreme crown. Maybe it was a crown that we got of a beauty pageant at home, or a beauty contest itself, or maybe a crown was something that we wore around as King Arthur. Maybe we played that. But when we think of crown, we always think of authority, do we not? See, the cool thing about a crown is this. We expect it on a king, but did you know that in the Old Testament, priests wore crowns? It's kind of a weird thing. We don't think about that. Before they went into the Holy of Holies and they ministered to the people, they had a gold crown. That's why when you see the Catholic Church, the Pope has this big old thing on, right? Like, it goes back to that in the Old Testament. The priests themselves wore a turban, and a turban itself almost looks like a crown, doesn't it? It was a symbol of being set apart. He goes on to say, not only did they put a crown upon his head, that was a crown of thorns, they put a staff in his right hand. Kind of talked about this on Thursday nights. We're talking and walking through Hebrews, and we talked about a scepter in Hebrews 1. The scepter of the king is a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of justice. It's a symbol of mercy. And they mocked him, and they knelt in front of him, and they mocked him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him, they took the staff, and they struck him on the head again and again. They ripped his authority away, or thought they were, and tried to keep striking him. Verse 37, after they mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him away to crucify him. See, this is Easter. A crown. See, sometimes we want to wear the crowns of this world, don't we? Crown of a status. Crown of a Learjet. Crown of a championship. Crown of a successful career. Crown of looking the best on social media. Crown of just surviving sometimes. But we want to put on the crowns of this world. And I just want to tell you, every crown we put on in this world is a crown of thorns. See, these thorns that are the result of sin, the fruit of sin, I want you to understand that Jesus had never tasted the fruit of sin until he put that crown of thorns on for us. Think about this. Jesus himself had been crowned in God. He is the Son of God. He left his royal crown. He had a crown in heaven, and he came down with his crown on. And instead of leaving it on in this moment, getting really mad, I mean, the dude could call angels like this. He meant, like, look at that. Praise Jesus' name. He could call that. See, I saw the light. I saw. No. No more darkness, y'all. Jesus, that's what he did. He wore his crown, and instead he takes and he sets his crown down, and he takes the crown that you and I were supposed to wear dead in our sin, and he puts it on fully for us. And the sad part is for each and every one of us, some of us today, we want to hang on to that crown. We pride ourselves in the crown of this world because we earned it. But Genesis 3 tells us God did not create us to earn anything on this earth. Adam and Eve before the fall didn't have to earn God's provision. They were fully in relationship, fully satisfied in him. But because of sin, they had to earn their food. Think about that. We pride ourselves in that, though, don't we? We put that crown on and we think that we've got it all figured out. But you see, Jesus put that on for us. See, I always think of that, well, that the old hymn, the old rugged cross, right? On a hill far away, sit an old rugged cross, right? We're the dearest and best, right? Like we go there, but there's that line in the song. I will cling to the old rugged cross and do what? Exchange it one day for a what? A crown. A crown. See, that's the gospel, church. That is what Easter is about. Easter. About the crown that we deserved in our sin, the crown of thorns. You see, we were created to be in relationship with God, fully in his provision, fully as he created us to be from the beginning. But the problem with sin is we couldn't do it. And the problem with sin is sin can't be in the presence of God. So what is sin? You say, I've never sinned, and you know what? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because we've all been 2 years old. What is sin? Sin is anything that is against the will of God, and the will of God is perfect, and none of us are perfect. None of us. We can never be perfect. So because of that sin, no matter how many crowns I keep putting on, man, I could have it all the way from head to toe, and I'm still not going to be perfect. And so because of that, we were eternally separated from God, but God loved us enough. He didn't want to leave us there. He said, I created you to be in relationship with me, not in a ritual, not in a religion, not walking around with this crown of thorns that is death. And so Jesus comes for us to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, right? He puts down his crown and puts on our crown. See, the reason that that matters is Jesus came to lift that perfect, sinless life you and I couldn't live. And we're walking around with our crown of thorns and sin, and because he lived the perfect, sinless life you and I couldn't live, we now have access to his crown. It is now available to us. But because of that, he said, hey, I'm not going to stop there and let you know that it's available. Now I'm going to have a way for you to take a hold of it. And how did he do that? He went to the cross for us, died the death we deserve, paying the penalty for our sins. Because we always read, what is it in Isaiah 53:6? By his stripes we are healed, right? He is our atonement, our eternal sacrifice. So now, because he has put our crown on us, not only do we have access to his crown, but we can take hold of it through faith. See, it's one thing to take hold of something, but you see, Jesus said, I don't want you just to be able to take a hold of it. I want something more for you. So he goes and he defeats death, hell, and the grave, leaving an empty tomb on the third day, so that not only do we have access to his crown, not only do we have the opportunity through faith to pick his crown up, now as we wear his crown, it is in us. The crown of life that you and I were created to have. Yet our pride, our sin, the fruit of our labor, which is a crown of thorns, we think that that crown of thorns means more to us than his crown of life. See, 2 Corinthians 5:21 reminds us of this. And it says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you remember what we just shared a moment ago when we were talking with Jesus, was talking in Matthew 7, he said a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Galatians 3 reminds us what Jesus did for us on the cross, and it says that cursed is the man who hung on a tree. Jesus took God's curse, the death that we deserved for our sins, on the cross. As a matter of fact, not only did he make access to his crown for us, now all of a sudden, instead of us carrying our bad tree, having bad fruit that deserves to go to hell, now we can have his fruit from his good tree eternally. What you and I were created to do. And so the question is, what do we do with that? See, some of us today, I hope you're reminded, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I hope that you are reminded that just because you have thorns in your life doesn't mean you're any less close to Christ than you are before. Because as long as we're on this pilgrimage from here to heaven, we're going to have thorns in our life. The question is what we do with it. Will we do what Paul did and surrender it to the Lord? Or will we just be angry about it? As Abraham Lincoln said, are we going to be mad that a rose bush has thorns, or do we understand and celebrate that a thorn bush has roses? For those who don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to ask you, what have you done with this crown of thorns? Are you hoping that because you wear it, God will have mercy on you in the end? Because it is appointed to man once to die. All of us will stand before God in judgment. And this will go one of two ways. We'll either come before him with our crown of thorns, trying to pay for our sin, and we can never do it. Or we'll surrender lordship of our life, confessing and repenting of our sins, taking our crown off, realizing that Jesus bore it for us. And instead, we'll have his crown on, and we'll enter into heaven in relationship with God fully for eternity. Have new bodies that don't break down, need icy hot patches, or need to go to a doctor for an ailment, because we will be fully healed. We will be with Christ for eternity. And so the question is, will we trust that Jesus put on the fullness of our sin with that crown so that we can fully receive his crown in faith? Or will we just keep walking around? Do you know God is fervently trying to show you he loves you today? He's trying to point you to this ultimate gift of Christ. See, God created the heavens and the earth. If the sky were not blue, would you and I have would we have any clue if God didn't create us to see it that way? Yet the sky has beautiful colors, not just blue and the sunrise and the sunset. Could God in his goodness, could God have created food to have no taste? And would you and I know the difference? Yet in God's mercy, we have our favorite food. We have our favorite things. Food has taste. Could God have created the birds outside to sing songs, and yet we not recognize them? And we wouldn't have a clue. Yet the goodness, the grace, the beauty of God is we understand the whippoorwill's territorial call. Oh, Woody Woodpecker up there on the power pole chomping in. The robin's beautiful song. Everything in this earth points to the goodness of God and the gift that he's given us with his son. So the question is, what will you and I do with it? And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And my prayer today is you would be reminded of God's goodness and mercy, even with the thorns that may show up in your life. others of us today, instead of the thorns showing up in your life, you're parading around in a crown of thorns, hoping and believing that because of that, you have value. Because of that, you have life, and it will only lead you to death. And so you keep trying to add more and more crowns in this world, and all you're doing is adding more and more thorns. I want to let you know today, if you would like to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. It is appointed and anointed by the Lord that you can receive it. And it's simply this. We're going to say this prayer in a moment. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith. The faith. We pray out loud as a family here at the Vine. So we're going to pray, and we're going to ask everyone to repeat these words after me. And the prayer that we're praying, it's not the words of this prayer that saves you, but the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time you can say that you have confessed and repented of your sins and surrendered lordship of your life to Christ, you have for the first time had faith that Jesus is who he says he is, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're watching online, you may see in the comments, you can put a raised hand emoji. You can shoot us a message. You'll probably see somewhere in there a link that you can click on. Thevine.tv/response is that link. We want to celebrate this decision with you because this is your starting block, not your finish line. We want to get you connected in with a local church to continue to be exactly who Christ created you to be. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up and stand up. We're going to continue in this moment of worship. And I just want to say, maybe you're in a moment where you're dealing with some thorns in your life. Would you just trust it to the Lord? Because if you can trust Christ to set you free from sin, to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself, don't you think whatever you're struggling with in your thorns that he can carry for you? So would you stand and let's worship God and let's look to the Lamb together. How thankful can we be for the crown of thorns that Jesus wore for us? Listen, I know that it might be something that's a tough pill to swallow. Maybe it's something we've forgotten about, but today you're going to go out and there are people that are going to be wearing a crown of thorns. And I don't know about you, but when I was dead in my sin, I'm pretty sure that that crown of thorns didn't feel as good as I thought it would. Kind of like a potty training toddler with a dirty diaper who runs away from you, who doesn't want that to happen. It was probably pretty nasty. It was a pretty terrible mess. Yet Christ still found me in it and set me free from the bondage I was in sin. Today, there are people that are going to keep trying to put that crown of thorns on, and you have the crown of life. And so as we go out in these streets, may it overflow that we share the life we have in Christ. And you want to know the easiest way to do that? Ask one person today how you can pray for them. It's the best way to do it. Right now, maybe you're struggling with thorns and you need to talk to somebody. I know there's nobody in this house. If you went to them and said, hey, can you pray with me, that they would say no. So before you leave, if that's the case, would you pray with someone today if you just got some thorns in your life? So that's what I'm going to pray as we get ready to come back here next week. So dear Jesus, thank you that you have come. You have set us free, that we can look to you, the Lamb for us, that you wore the crown of thorns, that you have the nail-scarred hands and feet and the pierced side for us, that Jesus, you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We could have spent a lifetime, 1,000 times over, trying to figure out how we could save ourselves, and we would always come up short. But instead of leaving us in this mess, Jesus, you came down for us in this mess, met us right where we are, not judging us, not condemning us, but with open arms. So I pray today, if we know you as Lord and Savior, that today we would continue to bring that out in the streets, that as we see those who are wearing that crown of thorns on their own, missing out on your crown of life, that we would share it with them at every opportunity. Today, if we are trying to put and pick up that crown of thorns, because even though we have your crown of life on us, please help us not to continue to do that, that we would be reminded who we are in you. Jesus, today there are prayer requests, spoken and unspoken. There are prayer requests on hearts right now. There are thorns in each other's lives. Jesus, we just lift them up to you. We're tired of trying to cut them out on our own. We're tired of trying to do everything with them on our own, but you are the gardener. And God, we just pray that you would do your will through them. We love you, Jesus, and we pray to your name and for your glory is why we do this. And if it be your will that you would bring us back here next week for some zero-calorie food and some good time. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Make sure you make plans to join us next week. We're going to have fun, continue our Easter series. We can't wait to see your smiling face. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.